Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined today by Howie.
Socially distanced across the room, but hey, I'm in person this time.
And for some reason, we have no idea what happened to Bobby. We had it all set up. They were going to do it early today because I had other plans, and he isn't responding to anything. So I guess he's going to miss out.
I guess so. And, you know, if he, you know, finds out we did this, you know, later today and is upset, Bobby, I'm sorry, but I got stuff I got to do too. So we've all got lives outside of this. This is something we do because we want to.
So today's topic is an on-the-fly topic, but it's about, well, let's back up a moment. It's the last week of July, which means that baseball has started, football is starting next week, hockey is starting next week, and basketball is starting next week.
There is a picture online somewhere of what the sports world schedule looks like on, I want to say, Monday the 3rd. And starting like at noon, there's going to be like 20 to 25, 30 games, all major league level baseball, basketball, hockey. Football, of course, is only practicing right now. But if you look at that schedule, if parts of Vegas are open, they're going to have a very busy day.
Here's one thing I have to say about the major league sports right now. I completely understand that they need to make money. I wholeheartedly believe they have to make money. They have to make payroll. They have to maintain a bank account so they can have a team next year. At the same time, here is a country of 330 million people who have had nothing to do for 4.5 months. Make your MLB.com TV free.
Lift the blackout
make your
restrictions.
NHL.
Yes.
Lift
yes.
the blackout restrictions. Take them off the cable or off the premium stations and put them on regular network.
Make them available to everybody. That's a great point, and I think it would go a long way towards building up some goodwill among fans, because so many sporting fans watch because it's something we do, not because we feel that, you know, those people are better or worse than us, because they make so much more money than we do. And it's one of those things where there's a jealousy factor that is inherent to it, but I think you make a great point. I mean, if they took the blackout restrictions off and made MLB TV, NBA TV, what do they call it? Is it League Pass, maybe?
It may be. I don't watch a lot of NBA.
NHL is center ice. MLB is just simple MLB. NFL was a Sunday ticket. I mean, whatever they're called, make them available, because half the country, not half the country, but a very large segment of the country, as has been widely reported, lost its job as of April. Many of them have not gotten their jobs back. A lot of people are suffering. Give them something to just watch and enjoy. Even if it's just an escape for like 2 or 3 hours, it's something to watch and enjoy. And it goes a long way towards a lot of building up a lot of goodwill among the fans.
I know that they have deals in place with these various networks, but there just seems like goodwill all the way around would be to make this happen. I'm kind of shocked that there hasn't been a push for it yet. I haven't read anything. I don't know if you have.
Up until you said it just now, I hadn't even thought of it. I was so busy doing classwork for the last couple weeks and for the next week and a half that I haven't even thought of it. I got to be honest, I'm happy that baseball didn't start until 3 days ago, because if had it been in place all summer, I don't think I would have been doing as well.
I'm not sure how you do it, how you can watch a full baseball game. I can go in and out of the game, checking on things every once in a while, but to sit down and watch a game from start to finish, unless I'm in person, I'm not watching it on TV from start to finish.
If I have a baseball game on, chances are it's a Yankee game. I cannot sit down and watch another two teams play, unless it's like the clinching game of the World Series and I know that there's going to be a champion crowned at the end of it. That said, if I sit down and watch a Yankee game, I will pay more attention if certain players are doing certain things. For instance, the other night, Gerrit Cole, first start as a Yankee. I was more interested in seeing what Cole did than what, say, Gio Urshela did. The other night, Giancarlo Stanton, home run, 459 feet. I'm like, wow, that was hit hard and far. All right, cool. Last night, I put the game on. It was on for a little bit. Stanton comes up again. I pay attention to him, and I pay attention to Judge, because these are guys who can hit the ball further than you'd ever seen. Stanton hit one. I think it's still moving. I mean, metaphorically speaking. It was off the bat at like 121 miles an hour, and it went 480 feet. It's like, well, that was cool. The Yankees lost, but c'est la vie. So I'm sitting there, and I my attention ebbs and flows, given who's batting, who's pitching, what's going on. I can't just sit and watch a full game. So in that regard, I agree with you.
I don't watch full football games either, though, so I guess that's the same thing. The only thing I watch from start to finish, if it's on television, hockey.
You have to, because
it moves so fast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'd rather listen to it on the radio.
Baseball or hockey?
Baseball. I don't mind hockey on the radio, but baseball for sure I'd rather listen to on the radio. There's something old-timey about listening to a baseball game on the radio.
I 100% agree with that. So, but the fact is, sports are back. And the topic today that we were going to discuss is, where were we going with this? Refresh my memory, because I think I've lost my train of thought.
Just
what a shock.
Sports are back, and it's one of those things that we do. That's kind of our summer escape. Well, year-round escape for some people.
Yeah.
Like, there are NFL widows. I don't subscribe to watching every NFL game all the time.
I don't.
So that's not me.
I don't understand people like that. I can't get behind that.
I'm not a member of the Bills Mafia. I like the Bills. I hope they do well, but I'm not a Bills fan. I, unfortunately, for people around here, a Green Bay Packers fan, which local people should be in favor of also. They had Don Majkowski, who was their quarterback back in the 80s and 90s before Brett Favre came along. And then during the last Super Bowl, there was a guy from Niagara Falls, James Starks, local guy. How can you not like local guys doing well?
Well, somebody I know in Medina once said, you know, I'm going to root for Rob Gronkowski because he's from Western New York. And they're like, well, we can't support that.
There are exceptions to the rules. There are three of them around here in north of Buffalo. Ron Jaworski and the Eagles. Nobody likes the Eagles.
Okay.
We like Ron Jaworski, but not the Eagles. Rob Gronkowski, because he's a Patriot. And then,
not anymore.
No, he's a Buccaneer, right?
Right.
And then the other one is nicest guy. I've spoken to him several times. I've had conversations with him. Daryl Johnson and the Dallas Cowboys. Daryl Johnson's from Lewiston. His mother was my art teacher at college.
Didn't he also go to Syracuse?
I don't know.
I think he went to Syracuse.
Well, he's one of those, you know, you don't can't support everything because of the teams they go to.
Because he's a Cowboy.
Right.
Yeah.
But let me reiterate, he is a really great person.
I think a lot of athletes, once they have stopped their career, have turned into just genuinely great people when you see them like after the fact. It's one of those cool things in life.
That's like Marcel Dion. Huge legend, really, with the LA Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Just a monster legend. He lives in Erie County. He lives in Clarence.
He's a NHL legend, not just LA King, NHL.
When there was the Hall of Fame event at the Cornerstone Arena, the first year they did the Hall of Fame event, Marcel Dion was there, and George was sick, and he couldn't make it to the thing. So we had a Get Well, George sign that we had Jim Lorenz hold up, and I can't remember who else it was from the Sabres, but they held a sign up. Marcel Dion turned and goes, hey, give me that sign. I'll take a picture too. I mean, where else are you going to have?
Yeah. Well, hockey players are notorious in the best way possible for being some of the most friendly off the ice. And some of the friendliest are the biggest goons on the ice, which is hysterical to think about. Like an apples and oranges comparison. One of the coolest meetings I ever had with somebody in sports was actually two of them. Both of them were hockey related. One was when I was interning for the Syracuse Crunch as a student, and I was keeping stats for a playoff round in 2002. It was the Syracuse Crunch and the Chicago Wolves, and the Wolves bring in...
Chicago Wolves have great jerseys, man.
Yes. The AHL jerseys in general, some of them are just fantastic. So the Wolves bring in their broadcast crew from Time Warner Cable. One of them has gone on to do play-by-play and various things for the NHL Network. They got the play-by-play guy, they have their analyst, and they have their expert analyst. And you're nodding your head like I've told you this story before. Because the expert analyst, he's there the first two games. I was shy. I was just keeping the stats like, here you go, guys. Here you go. So they come back for game five, and I'm there plenty early, and we start talking, and somehow or another, the conversation shifts to coolest hockey moments that we've had or experienced. And one of the guys who was doing play-by-play, I think it was the play-by-play guy, goes, oh, yeah, Nooney knows all about that. I said, excuse me? He says, Nooney. I go, who? Who's Nooney? He goes, our expert analyst, Brian Noonan, who's walking down the catwalk right now. I'm like, I'm sorry. I've been standing next to Brian Noonan this whole time. And for those who don't know, as a Ranger fan, like I am and have said many times, Brian Noonan was on the 1994 Stanley Cup champion New York Rangers. And if you watch a replay of the game-winning goal in Game 7, there's no way that Mark Messier touched that puck for the third goal. No way. By most accounts, most knowledgeable fans will tell you it's Noonan's goal. But obviously he doesn't care, because I asked him when I first introduced myself, I shook his hand, I'm like, it's a pleasure to meet you, blah, blah, blah. I told him how, you know, my cousins, we call each other every June 14th to say happy anniversary. And in a quiet moment, a few minutes later, I said, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure, shoot. I go, we don't believe that Messier should have gotten credit for that goal. We think it was yours. What do you think about that? And he looked at me, smiled, looked at the ice, and said, who do you think is going to win tonight? I said, thank you very much. That answers my question. I knew exactly what he meant. He didn't care. He's like, I got my cup ring. I don't really care. And then fast forward to 2016, when my brother, my cousin, my uncle, and my dad, we all went to Toronto for the World Cup of Hockey. We were at a bar before the game. It was a Team USA versus Team Europe. We met Phil Esposito. Esposito's standing or sitting at the bar, just I don't know how many beers into his bar time he was at. He stands up, gets a photo taken with us. It was really cool. We go to the game, there for the whole game, and as we're walking back to the hotel, we walk by the same bar, and Esposito hadn't moved. I don't know what number he was on at that point, but he hadn't moved. But it was really, really cool. So, again, hockey players are just some of the coolest.
They definitely are. I remember going to a charity hockey game. We're big hockey fans here.
I think most people have figured that out.
I went to a charity hockey game. It was the Buffalo Sabres alumni versus the Philadelphia Flyers alumni. And they had door prizes and giveaways. And I met Bernie Parent. Great guy. I know people in Buffalo don't like him. He was fantastically friendly.
It's a Hall of Famer.
And I got my picture taken with him, spoke with him. Just a really nice guy. But during that event, my wife and I won an Eric Lindros jersey. I may have told you the story before.
You might have, but go ahead.
So we pick up the jersey and we're waiting to the end of the game. So we're going out on the concourse. We're going to see if there's any other hockey players out there and see if there's any of them out there just to talk to them and stuff. Eric Lindros comes walking up to us. He goes, hey, you guys won my jersey. You want me to sign it?
Yes. Yes, please. That is cool.
He didn't have to do that.
No. No, absolutely not.
What meant the most to me in the hockey world is actually from a junior game. When we had the Lockport Express in town, we had the first year Lockport Express existed. I think it was 2015-2016 season.
Sounds about right.
We had the showcase in Lockport. Mm-hmm. And all the teams from the league came into Lockport and they played each other in this kind of like a tournament. And Dan Hodge from the Cape Cod Islanders, he was the owner coach of that team. So it's Saturday morning and like 8 o'clock in the morning, first game's going on. I'm standing in the overlook where the owner's box is, suite is. Mm-hmm. He's standing next to me. He's got a coffee. I've got my hot chocolate. We're just standing there watching the game. He's breaking down the game, and you realize his dad is a 2-time Stanley Cup winner, Ken Hodge from the Boston Bruins. And here is his son, Dan, just casually talking with me, talking about the game. Look, he's going to come up here. Now, here's how I would coach it. And I'm like, oh, this is wonderful.
I got a kick out of the fact, I've mentioned before that my uncle was pretty heavy involved with hockey in college. He didn't play, but he was like the equipment manager for Oswego State. And he has maintained contacts throughout the hockey world and community for years. Because the head coach, while he was there, wound up being the North American scout for a long time for the Rangers. When the Mark Messier trade went down, my uncle called us up and said, hey, guys, listen to this scoop I just got on my answer machine. Because this was 1991. And he hit play, and we hear the guy from Oswego, who was a scout for the Rangers, saying, hey, just want to let you know that in the next couple of days you're going to have this trade announced. And we're like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So my uncle at one point told me, he's like, hey, I was watching this game and Oswego was playing so-and-so and they were playing this guy. And somebody pointed out the guy in the corner, and I'm like, all right. My uncle tells a story a lot like I do. And
takes a really long time for a really short punchline?
More or less. But you met my uncle a year ago, so you get where I'm going with this. Anyway, so he's basically telling me that he was at a game, and one of his friends said, "Hey, yeah, he's over down that way." He's like, "Oh, cool, thanks." So my uncle walked down to the corner boards, ice level, introduces himself, says, "Hey, I just want to introduce myself. I really enjoyed watching your whole career." And then he spent watching, I want to say, the next two periods of a game and maybe a whole nother game, discussing hockey, NHL, and life with Paul Coffey. He's just standing there. And I'm like, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I think I saw eye to eye with him. He was that small." I'm like, "Okay, that's really cool."
Yeah. There is big hockey news out there. I know that the postseason tournament starting, I guess they report for camps next week, August 1st.
I think so.
But there's been bigger news. Release the Kraken.
Yes.
Seattle has finally come to terms with what they're going to call their team. I'm a little bit disappointed they called it the Kraken, but it's still very cool.
Yes.
I was rooting for the Metropolitans.
I would have bought a vintage red, white, and green Metropolitans jersey.
You know, at some point they're going to do that throwback.
Oh, and I'll buy one because it's so ugly, it's awesome.
It's like the red, white, and black ones of Ottawa.
Yeah, yeah. And Seattle, for what it's worth, that franchise was the first American franchise to win a Stanley Cup.
Yes, and then there wasn't one the next year.
That's right, because they had a pandemic.
Interesting.
Go figure. Anyway.
My brother lives in Seattle. And he put deposit down on season tickets, so because he's a huge hockey fan also. I mean, puts us to shame. I mean, the guy knows a lot about hockey. And I asked him, I go, "Kraken, huh?" He goes, "I'm not so sure I like that, because they're going to call us crackheads as fans, and we play in a crack house." And, okay, I get that. And so I was telling my wife at dinner that night about what his complaints were, and she said, "Well, they can have a slogan, show us your crack." I'm like, "Oh, my God." Regardless, I like their sweaters.
They are very cool.
I wanted to get a hat. The baseball cap is $35 plus shipping.
I think if you wait a year, maybe even a year and a half, and go on that website where that's basically gobbled up all sporting goods at this point, I'm not going to name it because they don't need any advertising. You just wait for like a clearance sale, and you can get a hat for anywhere from 14 to 17 bucks.
Yeah, I'm not spending $35. We'll be like $42 after everything's said and done. I'm not spending that much on a hat.
I'll go into a store sometimes. Like,
oh, I won't spend that much on a sweatshirt, so there's no way I'm spending that much on a hat.
Right, I have spent that much on a sweatshirt.
So have I.
However, I'm very picky about what kind I get for that much money. I mean, I went to a store at one point. I'm like, "Oh, this shirt's really awesome." It was a T-shirt, and I've got a whole bunch of them. I'm like, "This is," and then I looked at the price tag and said, "I'm not spending $35 on a T-shirt when I can get something very similar for $8." So it doesn't make any sense.
Regardless of all that and our problem with the pricing, there's a hockey team in Seattle where my brother lives, so I have a place to stay to see hockey on the West Coast. Let's keep that in mind.
Yes. Yes. I think I see a road trip in the next couple of years.
It might be a road trip via air.
I see an air trip in the next couple of years. Because I'd love to go to a game in Seattle. I mean, the fact that they made the anchor with the Space Needle, and then somebody actually already got a tattoo of the logo, but they made the logo and the anchor combined. It actually looks cooler than what they released.
Really? That's pretty cool.
So, in fact, the Seattle social media director or whatever on Twitter posted they retweeted the picture of the guy's tattoo and says, "Who are you? We need to know who you are." I think they want to get that and start marketing that. It wouldn't shock me. It was an amazing piece of artwork. So I think it's cool that there's a Seattle franchise. I think it's funny that there's already teams. I love what they put on their Twitter bio. "We, now that we have a team name, we're going to be scheming on how to take your team's favorite player away."
Yes. Which brings me to my next question. Will they repeat the success that Vegas had?
Well, the rules are pretty much the same, aren't they?
I think so.
I think since the rules are mostly the same, I think that the odds are better than 50-50 that they will be successful. Although, until I see who's on the roster, I can't say with any definitive leaning one way or the other whether or not they will be as successful as Vegas was in terms of getting to the finals.
The one thing they will have going against them is the pandemic, because it's going to pretty much handcuff the salary cap for the next couple of years probably.
Yeah.
So they won't be able to take on these big contracts and put them on to the end.
I will say this, and many of the people who were listening, I'm going to guess, hail from Western New York. So by the laws of great deduction in my mind, I'm going to assume that many people listening are Sabres fans. Complaining that anybody's going to take anybody off the roster not named Eichel or Dahlin is stupid. Buffalo needs to make some wholesale changes.
I don't think they're taking Reinhardt either. Reinhardt's got to be protected.
He'll be signed. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm looking at the four that you're not moving off the Sabres, and we're going off subject here. Eichel, Dahlin, Reinhardt, and Olofsson.
And Skinner, I think, has a no-move clause. My point is, Buffalo has finished so far down in the standings the last several years that to say, oh, you can't move this guy, you can't move this guy, you can't lose this guy, it's like, yeah, you probably can, and you're not going to miss much.
Right, but those four guys that I mentioned,
there's four or five guys that you'd be protecting anyway.
Right.
So worrying about who you're protecting on a depth chart when you get down to like 8, 9, 10, don't worry about it. Because at that point, you don't need to worry about it, given where Buffalo is finished. So it's going to be a very interesting expansion draft.
I can't wait to see the expansion draft. I can't wait to see these guys lace them up and skate for the first time. It's going to be exciting. I am super happy that there is hockey in Seattle. It gives my brother and I more to talk about, because right now it's only Sabres and how much we hate the Toronto Maple Leafs. So since the Maple Leafs barely make the postseason, there's not a lot of complaining going on. Though there was a lot of joking going on when they got beat by their own Zamboni driver.
That was awesome. That was awesome. And the MVP of that whole evening was the Zamboni driver's wife on Twitter.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to repeat some of what she said, but it was amazing. And it was just fun to watch.
In continuing with hockey for a very short minute, there is hockey in some markets that should never have had hockey before Seattle. I'm looking at Arizona, and I'm looking at the Florida Panthers specifically.
Well, I've been to a game at Florida. It's a very nice arena. Pretty sure it's also where the Miami Heat play, or it was at one time. When I went to a game, the team was still very new. The fans didn't know what they were watching. I am certain that, or I'm hoping, that it's changed significantly since then. I can't tell you anything about the game in Arizona, because I've never been out there. I will agree with you, though, that Seattle deserved a team.
Are there other places in North America that deserve a team more than those two places? Not named Quebec.
Then Arizona and Florida?
Yes. Not named Quebec, because I think it's pretty obvious that Quebec needs a hockey team.
Quebec City, yeah. There's been arguments in the past for Hamilton, Ontario, but given its proximity to Buffalo and Toronto, it'll never happen. There have been suggestions that Houston should get a team again.
Call them the Arrows, because they have great jerseys, man.
Just bring them back. I mean, all three Howes played for the Arrows at one time. Bring them back. Why not put a team in Indianapolis? Indianapolis was where the Gretzky played his first professional season.
What about Portland, Oregon?
You could do that, too.
Because then you have a natural rivalry between Vancouver, Seattle, and Portland.
Plus, you really don't need to build a new arena. You just need to retrofit the one where the Trailblazers play.
Then the other one, I was thinking of two others. Kansas City.
With the Scouts, you could do that.
And Oklahoma City.
You could do that, too. You could even...
I'm not sure how well... Oklahoma's probably on the bottom of my list, because it seems like they're more college football than anything.
Yeah.
But it's a big metropolis. I mean,
as you get further south in the Midwest, you start worrying about, all right, do these places need a football team or a hockey team? And when you get more northern Midwest, you could make the case for a hockey team.
I'm going to make a lot of people hate me right now with my next suggestion. Put a second team in Toronto.
Or just put the team in Hamilton, and there you got three teams that are going to be fighting with each other, Toronto, Hamilton, and Buffalo.
The thing about putting a second team in Toronto is if they use the same expansion draft rules they are now, they will finally have a successful team in Toronto.
I just take solace in the fact that my favorite team is an Original Six franchise that has won a Stanley Cup more recently than the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have not yet won one since expansion.
Is that 67?
Yes. It has been 53 years. And my guess is it will reach 54 and continue going. The Rangers' drought ended at 54 years. So
Montreal didn't have much of a drought. I think they're in a drought now.
Montreal's in a drought. Up until the 2000s, Montreal had won a Stanley Cup in every decade since the Stanley Cup was awarded. The last time they won one was 1993.
Okay.
But, of course, Carey Price is the greatest goaltender to ever walk the face of the earth, if you read anything from an NHL writer in Canada, though, which makes no sense to me. I disagree completely with that statement. I'm saying it because I'm being, you know, backhanded, sarcastic, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Well, there's been other big news for us locally. We've stolen more things from Canada this week. We now have a...
Wait a minute. It's America's game. We just brought it back.
Right. So we have... The Toronto Blue Jays are playing in Buffalo, and I'm calling them the Buffalo Blue Jays. Someone, in fact, took the Blue Jays logo, took the Canadian maple leaf out of it, and put a buffalo, a red buffalo there.
I saw that.
Which is really cool.
I like that.
I like that. I think they should use that this season, but they won't.
No.
The thing that was ironic and amusing was, as soon as they announced Buffalo, somebody put on Twitter, oh my God, they're going to play baseball in Buffalo, and they show a picture of Jon Snow at the... At the wall of ice.
I saw that.
And I'm like, dude, do you realize that they play in Canada, which is farther north, and it's about 90 degrees today?
People sometimes, I think, are so blinded by...
One blizzard that we had in 1977.
Yeah, well, more than that, but just blinded by stereotypes. And just assume one thing without realizing that it's more than one thing.
I am so happy that they're playing in Buffalo. I know you're a Yankees fan, and I like the Yankees and the Pirates, but right now, I'm kind of a Toronto fan because how cool is it they're playing right here?
I think it's awesome that they're playing here. Don't get me wrong. I think it is a great thing, and I think that the hospitality industry in Buffalo will see a bit of an uptick in its economic status, and that's fine. The problem is the problem with Major League Baseball for the entire sprint of a season. No fans in the stands.
None.
So...
But you may get a new fan base.
It might improve the fan base. If they do some things outreach-wise, it might improve there. I don't know what they can do given all the regulations and stipulations and modifications going on right now.
No blackout rules.
That one would be great. However, I'm going to throw this out there for anybody who might be listening and living in the area. I'm honestly considering heading down there for a game. I'm probably not going to do this, but it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility to go down there to watch a game from across the thruway or sitting in the top of the parking ramp and just waiting for a home run. Because have you seen what Giancarlo Stanton's done to baseballs? Have you seen what Didi Gregorius has done to baseballs? I mean, there are some powerful hitters in the American League East, and I think the NL East is what's playing Toronto this year. There is
the cool thing about Salem Field. The thing about Salem Field is the dimensions are slightly bigger than the field they play at Rogers Center. Slightly bigger, but there's no upper deck to stop the balls from flying out onto the throughway or into the parking ramp.
Exactly.
So it could be really cool. And I know that the major league players were unhappy with the way they were going to do the bullpens and the dugouts and stuff. Minor problems in a season that's only 60 games long.
Yeah, these aren't even first world. These are utopian problems that the baseball players seem to be complaining about. A lot of major league parks have bullpens in foul territory.
I guess they're going to put it out in the outfield where that patio is. So that's cool.
Okay.
And they're putting batting cages in and stuff at Seneca Tower or something like that.
Whatever they need to do.
Harbor Center.
They can do it. And then the other thing is they're like, well, there's not enough space in the dugouts. Do what every other major league stadium is doing this season. Put a pole tent behind the dugout. I mean, if you've been to a game...
There's no fans there anyway.
Right. You're not going to be wasting space or eliminating ticket sales.
I think,
what do you worry about?
I think the thing that people need to keep in mind about Salem Field is when they built it, it was built to be a major league stadium. They were trying to lure the Montreal Expos to Buffalo, and it ultimately failed, obviously. This is still one of the best stadiums in both major league and minor league. When they built it, it was one of the best in minor. It was the best in minor league, and it was ranked higher than some major league parks. It was so great, in fact, that when Baltimore redid their stadium, they used the stadium in Buffalo to base it on.
Here's a crazy thought. What happens in the future if Buffalo really comes off like a rose over the next 2 months?
I think they will, too.
In terms of how the Blue Jays get treated, how the visitors get treated, so on and so forth. Does Buffalo emerge as a viable option for the inevitable move of the Tampa Bay Rays?
Oh, do you become a fan then? I mean, I know you're a Yankees fan, but do you become a fan of the local team when they're not playing your team?
Absolutely. I'm a fan of the Sabres when they're not playing the Rangers. Look, anybody who lives in a region where there's a professional team, you want that team to do well.
Right.
For multiple reasons. One, it helps the economy because when people are happier, they're spending more money. And whether it's on goods, going out, whatever, it's great. And two, this is probably I'll flip the reasons. One, everybody who is following that team is happier. Ask any Bills fan over the last almost 20 years how much happier they were this season with the team making the playoffs.
Now, I want to add on to the excitement of having a major league team in Buffalo. Can we support it? Absolutely. Look at the Bisons games. We sell them out all the time.
Yes.
I mean, obviously they're cheaper, and I would like to still have the Bisons because I think that it's a 100-year, you know, team.
I could see the Bisons relocating to a place like Batavia, given right. what's going on with the lower-level minor leagues.
But think of the excitement. Think of the natural rivalry. Now, obviously, Tampa is a American League team, so you're not going to have a huge rivalry with Pittsburgh, but they have interleague play, and you're 3 hours away. You have Cleveland, you're 3 hours away. You have Toronto, you're 3 hours away. You have Yankees fans and Red Sox fans, mm-hmm. so they're going to flock to the games to see those two teams. I mean, it's a perfect win for Major League Baseball to put a team in Buffalo.
It would be amazing. One of the coolest things about Buffalo baseball history, and I'm not 100% sure that this is accurate, but I'd have to look it up. I'm pretty sure one of the first professional African-American baseball players played in Buffalo. I think it was Fleet Walker's brother.
Okay. They had a professional. There was a major league team here before.
Yeah. Yeah,
like the Federal League or something like that.
It was part of the American Association.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And one of the Walker brothers played in Buffalo.
That's related to Boston because the team ended up going, there were some weird shenanigans going on and ended up becoming the Boston Red Sox.
Baseball history is so complex. Not nearly as complex as the philosophy stuff I've been reading, but it's complex. I'll put it that way. So I'm excited for Buffalo. I want to see what the city can do for the Blue Jays hosting them for what's essentially going to be about 25 games because they're going to miss the first
They say at least 28. They're on the hook for 28 games.
Okay.
So I think there's two games in Baltimore that are going to be, they're doing, instead of having two games in Baltimore and then two games in Buffalo because they probably won't quite be ready because I think the game's the 29th. So that's in 2 days.
Yeah.
What will happen is that two of the games that they're supposed to play in Buffalo, they're actually supposed to play against Baltimore, will actually be home games in Baltimore.
Which is, given this crazy season that we're in, it's fine.
Right.
I mean, there's no fans in the stands anyway.
I'm kind of surprised we made it to a season.
Oh, I'm shocked. I'm beyond shocked. I'm going to pay attention, and I will be, my shock level will grow as the season progresses, and if it reaches an actual conclusion, that will be the shock of all shocks.
And, of course, we're waiting for the NHL to actually get underway.
I'm going
to
be curious how that's going. I got a friend who works for the NBA who explained how she is also shocked that MLB has a season. She explained to me what the NBA was doing and some of the technological advances they've done to do that. And makes sense to me how the NBA is working. I've seen pictures of what they're going to do for the NHL with the Stanley Cup Finals and the banners and so on to make it more of a unique experience while you're watching it. So that looked pretty cool. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the NHL draft after the preliminary playoff round when the eight teams get eliminated. Like, what happens if one of the eight teams gets eliminated?
And I know what, you could be given a gift as a New York Rangers fan. You could lose out in the first round and end up with the first overall pick.
I know.
Where do you go as a fan? Are you rooting for them to do well as a team, or are you rooting for them to lose and possibly get number one? Because it's a good number one pick this year.
Oh, it is. The whole top 10 they're predicting is going to be in the NHL as of the start of the 2021 season. I mean, that's how, well, most of the top 10 anyway, they're predicting are soon to be impact players. I would say, I'll give you a two-part response. One, if they lose and they get the number one pick, I'm happy. They got the number one overall pick. He's a left winger, and they've got some decent but not great center depth. They've also got a couple good left wings named Kreider and Panarin. Panarin's an MVP finalist. So is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. You get the first round pick, number one overall. He's a left wing. He's going to wind up starting off on your third line. I wouldn't want him starting on the first two lines anyway. That creates unrealistic expectations. That, of course, presumes the Rangers lose and get the number one overall. Now, if they win, well, then Jake Taylor from Major League applies. Win the whole thing.
The whole thing.
And if they do, Lundqvist needs to only start a handful of games and go right off into the sunset with a Stanley Cup ring and retire. Go. I'm okay with that because they've got a franchise goalie waiting in the wings. So I'm okay with that too.
Speaking of retiring, I think we're going to retire the show for the day.
I mean,
we had a lot of fun talking sports.
We did, and it's not going to be an every time occurrence. It's just one of those rare things where we're like, hey, let's talk on the fly. And we decided to use on the fly because that's a hockey phrase.
And baseball.
Caught it on the fly. Yeah,
Backing up one real quick thing before we go, no Field of Dreams game this year then.
No, it's happening.
Is it?
It is. They just changed the teams.
Okay.
I believe it's the White Sox and the Cardinals.
That one needs to be on the networks.
I believe
where
it
we can watch it.
Yeah.
Because that would be cool.
I think it should become an annual thing, and the teams should switch.
Sort of like the Winter Classic in the NHL.
Absolutely.
That's a tradition here. New Year's Day, or sometimes it's on the 2nd, sit down and watch the hockey game. We, you know, kind of lounge around and as a family.
I think there needs to be two, you know, like this, the NHL did the stadium series
right.
with their outdoor games. Yep. I think baseball should implement something like two series each season. One series would be in Iowa at the Field of Dreams site, and the other series would be at the wrongly titled but yet still accepted birthplace of baseball in Cooperstown.
Doubleday Field?
Yes.
I've seen a concert there. That's a cool field.
It is an awesome field. And I think honoring, you know, historical fields, I mean, if there was a stadium that hosted a Negro League team,
That still
exists. They right. should be playing some of those games there this season. It's the 100th anniversary. Some of the greatest stars in baseball history never actually got their just due. I mean, we discussed, I know I read the book on Oscar Charleston. Did you get a chance to read it yet?
I did not.
Okay, but the point still stands. Some of the greatest players ever never actually got a legitimate shot. So there's a lot of history in baseball that, and for anybody who's like, oh, well, you're making it political. No, sports and politics have always mixed. And if you fail to see that, then that's a separate show. And we're not going to waste time on that right now.
Nope, we're not. In fact, we're going to wrap it up for today and we're going to enjoy some sports. We're not going to be there, but we're still going to enjoy them. So for Howie, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.